Hello and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. I'm Janelle Eckerman and today I'll be reading some selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, April 9, 2026. And from the front page, the article is Making Meals into Moments. Ever-changing menu keeps buttery a fresh experience, and the article is written by Olivia Jacobs. Lincoln. Best friends Nicole Cox and Amanda Kitterman opened the buttery to sell their homemade goodies in Lincoln in December, but they never thought they would have their own brick-and-mortar shop. The buttery, 1503 North Kickapoo Street in Lincoln, offers an ever-changing menu of breads, pastries, soups and salads, with a focus on fresh, seasonal ingredients as a grab-and-go store. The store came about because of customer demand, they said. It's all about making every meal into a moment, not just the food that we prepare, but also the food we choose to carry in the shop, like the other elements, the retail products, Cox said. We're always sourcing things that you can use at home to cook, or you know, we sell little salt slides that you can carry in your purse. The idea is that you can take that and turn your meal into a moment, like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I needed lemon zest salt, but I did. The concept for the buttery began in August 2024 with the idea of farm stand type business to sell items they baked in their homes under cottage food licenses. The rolling buttery was born using a rolling cart named Birdie. When the winter months rolled around, they still wanted to keep business going. Cox's husband built a greenhouse for them to sell products out of, and they ended up having lines of cars waiting. Then they were able to expand into a commercial kitchen at the Hope on Fifth homeless shelter, but changing health department requirements led to them purchasing what is now the buttery. We were kind of pushed a little into getting a brick and mortar, maybe sooner than we would have naturally, Cox said. But we also didn't want to lose our customer base, so we took that dive. But it's been really great. We've just been open since December, and continually our sales are consistent. Square, a restaurant ordering app, is great, and it gives you a little highlight of whether a customer was new or returning. And so we're constantly seeing new customers come in, and it has been really great, she added. But I think people just really enjoy having the option of something a little healthier that's quick grab and go, not like I go to a restaurant. I've got to sit down. I've got to wait for my food. It's already here for you. Cox is from Chicago but moved to Lincoln, and this article is then continued onto page A6. She went for college. She previously worked as a kitchen manager and catering coordinator for Sodexo, a Lincoln Christian University, and also started the Lincoln Memorial Hospital Farmers Market. Kitterman is a Lincoln native and was a stay-at-home mum to four. With her oldest heading to college and youngest in grade school, she said she was ready to re-enter the workforce. The name buttery comes from the term for a monastery room that was used to store food to offer to travellers and strangers. The duo said they wanted their business to be a place where community members stop on their daily journey, and the name reflects that. Cox and Kitterman aren't vegetarian, but cottage food license restrictions make it easier to serve vegetarian and vegan items. They do serve meat, but they have found their meatless items are popular. I think we just try to do everything from scratch. We're constantly, you know, we're making all of our own bread. We're making all of our own salad dressings. Yeah, we just try to do everything from scratch, Cox said. We always look for the best produce, unique items we can add to salads and soups. Our business model is very different from restaurants in that our menu changes weekly. If you came in this week and got the Ruby sandwich, you won't see it here next week, you know. It might be a while before we have it again, so it's just always evolving. This week's menu includes various bakery items such as vegan shokupan, Japanese milk bread loaves, focacci and cinnamon rolls, olive oil cake, carrot cake slices, raspberry lemon blondies, fresh fruit tarts, mini whipped peanut butter pies, malted chocolate Easter egg cookies, lemon meringue pie cookies, cashew butter cookies, lemon poppy seed protein bites and Snickers protein bites. Drink items include robin's egg coconut cold brew latte, carrot cake cold brew, and a blueberry hibiscus lemonade. Prepared food items include a carrot lox bagel sandwich, Easter breakfast sandwich, spring meadow grain bowl, lemon roasted veggie grain bowl, beetroot mash, citrus miso ginger carrot salad, and a banh mi sandwich. Available grocery items will be the gourmet deviled eggs, radish chive butter and demi baguette, chocopan French toast casserole and yogurt parfait. All menu items are subject to change based on ingredient availability. Some of the elements of what we do or like with our cinnamon rolls, we figure out how to theme them. So some things are consistent, Kitterman said, noting she loves being creative in the kitchen. We try to hit certain categories, so we'll always have grain bowls, we'll always have soups and salads, and then pastries and breads. So those things stay the same, but all the flavours change based on what we can find or what we want to eat, Kitterman added. The buttery's prepared food items are its best sellers, as well as grain bowls and soups. The store is completely self-service, so customers can come in and get the items they want, check out at the kiosk, and go on about their day. Cox and Kitterman also recently started a subscription service for Lincoln residents called Salad Club, offering a chance for people to receive 3 to 4 salads a week with a menu for the entire month. Subscribers pick up their salads on a Monday and have them for the whole week. So those have been popular, the owners said. Each Thursday, Cox and Kitterman sit down to come up with a menu for the following week. They post the weekly menu on Sunday via Facebook, and on Monday they make and package everything and post what specifically will be available the next day. They are open from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesdays through Thursdays. Additionally, there is a notepad in the store where customers can request specific items. There are also a few tables and chairs for those who want to sit inside and enjoy their food and drinks if they want. Cox said she is always shocked by new customers who can't believe that there is an option like the buttery in Lincoln. And with this article, there are several photos. And the main photo from the front page is captioned, "The buttery in Lincoln is co-owned by Amanda Kitterman on the left and Nicole Cox." And that photo was courtesy of Clay Jackson from the Pantograph. And the next photo is captioned, "The buttery in Lincoln offers breads, pastries, soups and salads with a focus on fresh seasonal ingredients." And the second photo is captioned, "Cinnamon rolls are for sale at the buttery in Lincoln." And those photos were courtesy of Clay Jackson photos from the Pantograph. And the next article from the front page is a data center forum. Residents, Logan County is not tech hub, and the article is written by Danette Beckert. Mount Pulaski. Logan County residents continue to voice their concerns about a potential hyperscale data center that could be built on farm ground near Latham. The data center would house computer servers and networking equipment on approximately 200 acres of land near an Ameren, Illinois substation, according to Hut 8, the Miami-based digital infrastructure provider behind the project. The proposed project was the topic of a public information session Tuesday at the Mount Pulaski American Legion Hall. In January, Hut 8 provided its Latham Data Center Logan County zoning discussion proposal to the Logan County Board, and this article is then continued onto page A2. The information included a description of Hut 8 as well as what the community could expect. Data centers are the backbone of the internet, powering everything from email and video streaming to AI and even essential public services, the company stated in its proposal. Although several larger companies have their own data centres, a hyperscale data centre would house servers and storage for several smaller companies. While there were no representatives of Hut 8 at Tuesday's meeting, there was approximately 100 community members. To provide an overview of data centres, independent information technology professional and Mount Pulaski native Kelly Cubberley was invited to explain some of the details connected to having the large facility in the neighbourhood. Although she now lives in Nashville, Tennessee, Cubberley has remained connected with Central Illinois through family and regular visits. Logan County, I don't think, can move forward with a hyperscale AI data centre without significant upfront investments for infrastructure, she said. Logan County is not a tech hub. Cubberley said she suggests advocating for a new water treatment facility for Mount Pulaski if the large facility were to be built. I have recommended to the Logan County Board to insist on impact fees that would be required before tax revenue was to trickle down, she said. I believe that Logan County needs safeguards in place for any sort of hyperscale data centre built. Other resources needed might include an updated firehouse and power grids. This is industrial computing campuses built for running massive AI workloads that need massive amounts of power to a point where they have to update the grids, Cubberley said. Hut 8 has predicted an 18-month construction period will employ approximately 1,500 workers. Once the facility is up and running, the estimated staff will include nearly 200 people. The facility and the requirements needed for the servers and components were the concerns for the community, with more than 203,000 servers constantly running inside the facility. Cooling and power systems will be needed. Logan County doesn't have 30 million gallons of water a day to chug through, Cubberley said. We also need a new fire station to support that type of facility. Hut 8's proposal calls for a closed-loop cooling system, which uses a fixed volume of coolant that would be shipped into the community. The only locally sourced water needed for the project would be for basic plumbing fixtures, which are estimated to use less than 9,000 gallons a day. Although the facility will spread across 200 acres, community members contend the county shouldn't expect to see much of the tax revenue. It's a shell and some pavement, noted Logan County resident Mike Barger. However, representatives of Hut 8 have estimated the $5 billion project could generate up to $65 million in property tax revenue annually. Tenants renting the servers also are not guaranteed. If a project of that size were to go off the rails, Logan County will not be able to clean up that mess, Cubberley said. So why Latham? Hut 8 was attracted to the area because the Latham substation is using single-digit capacity. With or without Hut 8, Latham is going to be a hot target, Cubberley said. With the arrival of AI in nearly all industries, the growth of new technology is already here, she added. After learning about the possibility of a nearby hyperscale data center in January, Lincoln resident Matthew Isley studied Hut 8. I've been to a lot of these board meetings too. I've talked with the guys from Hut 8. I've spoken to members of the Logan County Board as well, he said. Make sure you're looking at what they're saying. Isley said he is aware the Hut 8 representatives are salespeople. The idea that our electric bills will not be affected is ridiculous, he said. They are going to go up. The power isn't there, said Isley's wife, Allison. Do we want something that's going to store power, or do we want something that's going to drain 30 times our county's power? Before Mount Pulaski Mayor Matt Bobel can make an opinion about the possibility of the new facility in his backyard, he said he wanted to learn more, prompting him to invite Cubberley to the special meeting. It's just more of an outside opinion to make sure everyone's educated and ask the right questions, he said. In February, the Logan County Board agreed to a 60-day moratorium on applications for data centres, including the proposed site near Latham. A moratorium for the land permit will expire in a few weeks, according to the mayor. They can't reapply until that's lifted, he said. I've heard Hut 8 plans to reapply when they get more stuff in order. Bobel and others in the community have recommended those concerned about the hyperscale data centre attend Logan County Board meetings and contact State Senator Sally Turner and Rep Bill Houter. The impact fee, the water, these are questions we need to ask our county board members, Bobel said. That is why I wanted to hold this informational meeting. On Tuesday, Sangamon County Board voted to approve a similar facility. With such a close facility, Alison Isley suggested the community reach out to other counties. It does require us putting forth the emails, the calls, she said. If it's not this one, it's going to be somebody else. And my apologies for any mispronunciations. And moving on to page A2 in local news, the article is ISU Union Workers Go on Strike. Higher ed funding issues making tough weeks in Springfield. And the article is written by Drew Zimmerman. Normal. Illinois State University workers are on strike. Members of the American Federation of State, County and Municipal Employees Local 1110, which includes more than 300 employees who work in ISU's buildings, grounds and dining centres, walked off the job early Wednesday morning after stating earlier in the week that they would be prepared to strike. They picketed outside Watterson Towers and CEFCU Arena, where the union said ISU president Ayanova Tarheel was posting a VIP breakfast. This strike comes after dozens of negotiation sessions and meeting with a mediator in an attempt to reach a contract agreement. AFSCME Local 1110 workers have been without a new contract since the last one expired in July and without a pay increase for the last 2 years. This has left most employees making less than the living wage standard for a single adult, union officials said. Despite these sessions, the union and university administration have been unable to reach an agreement. According to a statement from the university, its last, best and final offer provides all employees in the bargaining Unit 5 guaranteed increases to their base 5 over the 5-year term of the contract, with the first 2 increases implemented within the next 12 weeks. All employees in the unit would be paid at or above the median base pay for similar positions in the local marketplace, the university said. ISU officials said they don't believe a strike is in the best interest of employees or the university community, but they respect the rights of employees represented by Local 1110 to participate. The university is implementing contingency plans and will continue to operate during the strike. We are committed to continuing normal operations to the fullest extent possible, according to the statement issued Tuesday. The day before a planned strike, roughly 100 members and supporters of AFSCME Local 1110 rallied Tuesday at Mulberry Street and College Avenue in Normal to express their frustration. Some of the biggest conflicts cited by the union are the university's rejection of retroactive pay increases for 2025 and the possible elimination of a long-standing contract provision that ensures union members receive at least the same wage increases as other university employees. Mike Newman, Deputy Director of the statewide AFSCME Council 31, said no one who works full-time for a public university should be forced to live in poverty. Pay for many employees begins at $16.60 an hour, union leaders have said. This is an institution of higher learning, but what's clear is that the leaders of this university need some education, and we're going to educate them if they need to be schooled, Newman said. We're going to school them because they're going to see what happens to buildings, the dorms, the cafeterias, and the grounds as a direct result of the university's refusal to treat employees with respect. Andrew Franson, a sophomore history education major at ISU, admitted that he is terrified of joining a picket line, and it is not the news he wanted to give to his parents who paid for his education. We have to make it clear to ISU administration, and not just the ISU administration, but this community, that when we are standing together, we are stronger together, Franson said. Several other supporters, including State Senator Dave Kohler, D. Peoria, spoke in support of Local 1110 on Tuesday before protesters marched to the front of Harvey Hall, ISU's Administrative Services Building. They chanted, "Tal, you're no good, pay your workers like you should, and ISU pays property wages." Local 1110 members authorised the strike last month by a member vote with 97% approval. In addition to Local 1110, the United Faculty Union of the University of Illinois at Springfield is currently on strike. State Rep Sharon Chung, D. Bloomington, said what is occurring at these two schools shows Illinois has not been funding universities in an equitable way, which is why supporters came to this rally. As the state approaches the 2027 fiscal year, Chung said some of the revenue projections reviewed by the Democratic caucus were more favourable than what some had anticipated. But then again, there's a lot of needs right now, and so we're going to have to try and figure out how we can pay for all these needs, especially with the cuts at the federal level, Chung said. It's going to be a tough 7 weeks here in Springfield. And continuing on to page A3 in local and nation news, the article is Students Invited to Oglesby Mansion Play, Decatur. The Governor Richard J. Oglesby Mansion and Museum will offer its annual educational play for fifth graders from April 27 through May 1. The play is Grant Visits the Oglesbys and covers President Grant's 1880 visit to Decatur. Students get a tour of the mansion and a chance to visit with the actors, who will stay in character and in the time frame of the 1880s. Fifth grade teachers are encouraged to make reservations now for their classes by contacting Bill Horton at 217 791 0405. The mansion offers scholarships to assist with bus transportation costs. Governor Oglesby nominated Lincoln to run for the presidency at the convention in Decatur. And in more local news, church serving pancake breakfast Saturday. Decatur. Long Creek United Methodist Church is holding a pancake breakfast on Saturday, April 11. It will be held from 7 to 10 a.m. at the church, 6890 East Firehouse Road. The cost is $10 for adults, $3 for kids ages 4 and up. Kids ages 3 and under are free. The menu includes pancakes, hash browns, sausage patties, biscuits and gravy, coffee and juice. And the next information is for Shelby County Art Show, which opens Saturday. Shelbyville. The 59th annual Shelby County Art Show will be held this weekend at the Lake Shelbyville Visitor Centre. The show, featuring a variety of works, will be from 3 to 7 p.m. Saturday, April 11, and noon to 5 p.m. Sunday, April 12. Available for viewing will be a large exhibit of art creations by K-12 students and adults with ribbons attached from the Saturday morning judging. All entries have been created within the past year from artists from Shelby and adjacent counties. And finally, That's What She Said, set for April 18, Decatur. The one-night performance of That's What She Said will be at 6:30pm Saturday, April 18, at the Lincoln Square Theatre, 141 North Main Street, Decatur. Tickets are $35.35 and can be purchased at tws.heartofillinois.org/tickets. 8 local women, including company presidents, childcare providers, CEOs and political figures, will share their emotional stories. Some will be humorous, while others may be tear-jerkers. The event is a fundraiser for the Heart of Illinois Community Foundation's She Gave Women's Giving Circle grants. And also from the same page, Obama Center Museum tickets go on sale May 6, and it's written by Tess Kenny. Chicago. With just over 2 months to go until the long-awaited Obama Presidential Center opens to the public, patrons soon will be able to secure their entry to the campus museum. Museum ticket sales will kick off later this month, going live for founding members on April 21, the Obama Foundation announced on Monday. Tickets will open to the general public on May 6. When visitors look up at the Obama Presidential Center's museum building, they'll see three simple, powerful words: "You are America." Former President Barack Obama said in a video shared on X last month, announcing the center's public opening on June 19. Spanning 19 acres, the $850 million center in Jackson Park, which was first slated to open in 2021, then again in 2025, and now officially in summer of 2026, will feature a newly minted main building and museum. A forum building that includes an auditorium, media suite and other programming rooms, a Chicago Public Library branch, and farther south a 45,000-square-foot multipurpose athletic center. The campus will also feature a playground and a landscape park that connects with the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry. The vast majority of the center's amenities will be free and accessible to the public. As for museum tickets, officials have said entry will be priced in line with other Chicago cultural institutions. Tickets announced Monday put general admission pricing at $30 for adults 12 and older and $23 for children between 3 and 11 years old. Children 2 and younger will have free admission. The museum will also offer free admission every Tuesday to Illinois residents with proof of residency starting June 23. Otherwise, Illinois residents will have discounted tickets, $26 for adults and $15 for children. General admission tickets provide access to all four levels of the museum, which spans a full-scale replica of Obama's Oval Office and a chance to sit behind a recreation of the historic Resolute Desk, an exhibit dedicated to the former First Lady's fashion, and a series of special short films. The museum allows visitors to explore the history and impact of the Obama presidency, while the broader campus in Jackson Park creates a place where the community can gather, learn, and imagine what's possible next. Valerie Jarrett, CEO of the Obama Foundation, said in a statement, "The initial round of ticket sales includes dates between June 19 and November 30. Tickets for future dates will be announced online at obama.org. All museum entry will be time ticketed." I'll now take a short break and return with part two of today's reading of selections from the Decatur Herald and Review for Thursday, April 9, 2026, read by Janelle Eckerman. Please stay tuned.